Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Smart Firefighting Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Sofin, alongside Captain Kirk McKenzie. In this mini-series with the First Responder Tracking Challenge, also known as FIRST, hosted at the Indiana University Crisis Technology Innovation Lab in partnership with Resultant, R2 Network, Generator, and funded by NIST Public Safety Communication Research Division. This challenge is looking at 3D indoor tracking for first responders. Knowing the exact location within a structure of first responders during a search and rescue operation is vitally important to the safety. And here in this mini-series, we are capturing the voice of law enforcement, emergency medicine, and urban search and rescue professionals.
Thanks so much for having me on the show again, Kevin. And certainly, I'm looking forward to hearing from the veteran first responders, the operators in the field, and why it's important to know where their brother and sister first responders are. You'll hear stories and firsthand experience that'll help paint a picture on the challenge of getting that location, what to expect moving forward, and why it'll provide so much value. Most importantly, on how 3D location fits into an emerging, digitally enhanced, smart ecosystem for the public safety first response community and those they serve. Thank you, everybody, for joining this call with Kevin Sofin, my friend at smartfirefighting.com, and my friend a number of years, Greg, who has quite a bit of experience in 3D technologies. Greg, and help me pronounce your last name and then tell us a little bit about your background.
It's Schofield. Thanks for having me today, Kirk and Kevin. Basically, I am a retired member of the Toronto Police Service. For 37 years, I was doing crime scene mapping, the last 10 years in particular, using 3D laser scanning. And that technology is where it's leading me to now, which is laser scanning and virtual reality. So a lot of that I'm doing through training at one of the local colleges. So
that's perfect background as the challenge. So there's $5.6 million on the line to know where our personnel are, law enforcement, fire, medical personnel, to know where they are in X, Y, and Z access. And since you have such a great background in that, could you share how you think that might be valuable to the responders and incident commanders in the live emergencies?
Oh, I made a couple of notes here because my background, again, is more towards the evidentiary side of it, the prosecution. I'll touch on that in a second, because there's a major advantage to what you're talking about. But thinking about it as a first responder, to be able to go in and look at major incidences. So if we're talking about things like active shooters, weapon calls, search and rescue, search and apprehend, things like that, to be able to visualize the en route situation to begin with, look at asset locations, threat locations, the dynamics of up to this point in the call. So from the initial 911 call, to be able to understand spatially. And again, that's always been from my background and training, is understanding that spatial, that X, Y, Z, and what happened right from the get-go. So when we look at things like that, in particular, looking at routes to the actual contact point, hazards on the way in, all these things. And especially when you're looking at the historical information, and when I say historical, but literally information that might only be 3 or 4 minutes old, but looking at our first responders' route to that initial contact point, whether it's urban or rural, both have certain issues that they're dealing with. So whether it is the complex building, which is, again, most of my experience, or even something as simple as a park setting, which you might think, okay, out in a rural area, but here in Toronto, we have some very large urban parks. So to be able to say where one of our officers is in a fight, say, within one of these parks, just to be able to describe where they are. Some of our parks, literally, you get 100 yards off the trail and you're in total wilderness, which is the way they intended it. But getting back to it, the idea of looking at what routes they took getting into the site. Then we're looking at things like the actual incident itself. What are our contact points? What are our locations? our primary officer location? And in particular, how do we back that person up? How do we get resources to them? Because usually it is an assist officer call is what's going to come in. And that's going to be the most important thing to respond to. So these are the sort of things that we're considering is looking at that. One of the other things is that when you talk about locating in the three, you know, the GPS, the XYZ, is that a lot of the technology now also is coming in with body mounted cameras. So this is where I see that the two of them will be marrying up. And I think that the potential of those two data sources is going to be phenomenal. One of the things right now is that if you have a remote feed on a camera, you may not always understand exactly what you're looking at or where that person is. So to be able to back it up with a GPS location, and again, when we're talking technology, that's down to within the meter to say where they are, it gives a much better idea of the context of the situation of the overall physical layout. So these are some of the advantages that I can see for this kind of technology and the importance of it.
Thanks, Greg, for that context. And one thing that when you were talking, it reminded me of disasters, how disasters for a reason. No one, they happen, they're unpredictable. There's all these different unknown challenges that happen. And when a first responder is going to the scene, it's important to know the route that they're going on, but even more important to know how has that route changed from when what it looked like a day ago, or how has that building changed from before and after the disaster, whether it was a natural disaster, whether it's a man-made disaster. And there's a new set of circumstances based on the real-time information. I would love to know, based on your history working within law enforcement and today with your some insights of technology, any example of how having this type of technology would have helped in the past? Or was there a situation where in the past, by not knowing where a law enforcement or first responder was, that it caused a challenge? And then how you think that we can rectify that and make first responder and law enforcement more effective moving forward by having access to this type of marrying of technology?
Well, there was one incident that I recall. It was about 15 years ago now, up here in Toronto. Person with a rifle in one of the food courts downtown in one of the office towers decided that he was going to kill his ex-wife. So he ambushed her in the food court, fired shots. So that's what the initial emergency calls were to this food court. In the meantime, the gunman thought that he had accomplished his deed and left that area, came up onto street level, and started going through one of the passageways down towards our main train station. Now, there were a lot of people there at the time, and a couple of people were calling out to, turns out it was a police officer there. He was on what we call a paid duty. So he was in uniform, off duty from regular patrol work, on his way to a specific assignment at a construction site. He wasn't from that division. So he's getting people running up to him saying, "Hey, there's a guy there with a rifle." Our copper is calling it in, but he's not entirely familiar with where he is because I said he's not from that division. We've got a number of units responding to the initial site, but at this point, they've moved about 300 feet or about 100 meters further south, and that's where he finally made contact with the gunman. The gunman grabbed a hostage at that point and basically stood still. The copper on site, that constable, he was able to call in and finally say, "I'm in the front plaza in front of Union Station." And with that, he was finally able to get the backup that he needed, and the situation was eventually neutralized. Our special weapons team came in and took care of the threat. But this is the sort of thing, though, the idea that knowing these spatial locations, especially in the heat of the moment, the officers may not always be able to say exactly, "This is where I am," if they're not familiar with it, or if it's, again, if it's an outdoor scene, trying to describe where they are within, say, a park, or even something as confusing as we've got a very large underground shopping mall area in downtown Toronto. So to be able to say exactly where you are. So it's just truly it's officer safety, being able to understand, as you said, the routes in and out may have changed from what the existing plans show, and even at the time of the incident, to be able to tell everyone that this is exactly where I am, this is what's happening, our suspect is traveling in this direction. And again, I can see combining that with information from things like body-mounted cameras. One of the things most importantly, though, and this is because of my background, I'm not so much involved in the actual initial activities, but more so the afterwards, the investigation side of it, is that having this GPS information available, and especially with combined with other information, can be crucial in the form of evidence for
Greg. For any number of calls, having the forensic reconstruction capability enabled by knowing where your personnel were with that's time stamped. And I want to make sure I'm conscious of, I have a couple more key things to ask your opinion on in the minutes we have remaining. And you mentioned about location, and it could be GPS, it could be wideband radio, it could be visible light tracking or simultaneous location area mapping. There's all sorts of teams that have made it through phase one with different solution sets that are coming to the table. When we marry those to visible light, or with your background in point cloud data and digital twins and building information modeling, I'm going to ask you to think a little further down the road. In addition to what the location, what is the greater digital ecosystem? What do you see that looking like in the coming years as these solutions come to bear?
What you've said about mentioning digital twins in particular is it's always been one of the things with law enforcement, is that the budgets are not always there. Now, that having been said, digital twinning for building information systems is becoming very popular. So if the property management companies are building out the twins and we can access them as part of an ongoing investigation, or as, you know, a dynamic situation that's unfolding, I can see where being able to leverage that information that's already been collected and developed. So even something as simple as saying, here is the most up-to-date from 2 days ago building plan. So you can understand that if you go to the second floor, you can go climb up on the balcony and have immediate access to the third floor, things like that. So to be able to have that sort of information on hand, I can see is very important. As I was getting at, beyond that, at the end of the situation, to be able to look at the GPS information to corroborate, in particular, to support what the officer has said when they're testifying, because that's one of the problems with body mount cameras. And that's one of the things that we're beginning to heavily rely on, is that we can't always tell those spatial distances. So to be able to have a GPS trail to show, this is what the officer did, here's where it coincides with the camera image of what that interaction was, and this proves what the officer is testifying to. So both for court purposes and for training purposes afterwards, things like that, to be able to tell the students, here is a real life example of what went right or what went wrong. So again, this future technology, I can see so many areas where you can take things like GPS and marry them to other advancing technologies or to existing information, where you're going to be getting a much higher return on your actual useful information that comes out of it. So the idea of having GPS on first responders, I think, is going to be very useful, both for officer safety at the immediate time of the incident and for review afterwards.
Greg, COVID was obviously something that was on our minds quite a bit the last 2 years. It has been changing as cases have been going down, but it's still very much in our minds and is something that we'll always look to, as ever since COVID, we now do things like this. With a COVID lens and looking at how we responded as primary responders or secondary responders, and then kind of that dynamic of whether it was knowing if there were certain populations that were at risk, or if there were certain populations that you needed to avoid, or populations you really needed to address. How do you see this type of spatial tracking helping police officers and first responders at large being able to, again, better have a clearer operational picture to be able to address or avoid certain populations throughout the primary or secondary response process?
I can see that sort of thing, especially when we're talking about things like dealing with COVID or other situations like that, having that GPS information would be useful. It's not something I've really given much thought towards. I think the planning side of it, as far as understanding locations, things like long-term nursing care homes, this is where we had a lot of problems up here in Canada, where the LTCs. So being able to understand things like access in, especially if it's immediate information, you know, up-to-date information, I think that's really what it's coming down to, is that regardless of what you're looking at doing, if you've got the most up-to-date and accurate information available, it's going to help the mission. It's going to just, as I say, it's going to improve the chances that the mission is going to be successful.
And certainly with something like an infectious disease or an active shooter, we want to be as distant from the hazard as possible, above ground, below ground, in any sort. So knowing where the hazard is, or the red forces and the blue forces, knowing where the good teams are and the threat is, whether it's a man-made threat or a natural threat. So, Greg, I'm so grateful for our friendship over the years and getting to talk about X, Y, and Z location and point clouds and digital twins and the like. Is there any closing comments you'd like to say on your visit with Kevin and me today?
And Greg, with a closing comment, like a challenge, a thought, an insight, or a question that you would ask to the contestants and the responders that are here in the first challenge?
The main thing, and I really am enthusiastic for the idea of having GPS tracking, especially accuracy, I really would be interested in seeing how well it marries into existing and advancing technologies, and in particular, things like laser scanning for 3D imaging and body-mounted camera systems. The photogrammetry is one area of technology, developing measurements directly from photos and developing 3Ds directly from 3D models directly from photography. I can just see where, with the power of computing that's coming out now, to be able to take an existing BIM model, an existing 3D model of an area, marry it together with the GPS, with the body camera, just to have that overall technology. So I'd be very interested, and that's what I would encourage the teams that are looking at, is to expand out and look at how they can pair together and leverage a much greater return with both existing and advancing technologies that are out there right now. Basically, work with what complements and see what comes out of it.
Super exciting time, Greg. Thanks again for being with us today and inspiring the challengers to move their life-saving technology forward. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Greg, for all you do. Thanks for listening to this mini-series episode today. Make sure to check out thefirstchallenge.com for updates on the challenge and reach out with any questions.